Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And let me pray for you. That'd be okay. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my brother for the privilege that we have had these many years as a family to partner together. And Lord, Nigeria can seem like so far away, but yet, Lord, we have been intimately tied with them for these years, Lord. And I just thank you for the generosity of this family. Got to know that brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, in a different land, a different culture, but the same Jesus, the same King that we worship, Lord. And we're just so grateful for that. And God, I ask a blessing over him, over Precious, over their family, and upon the ministry, God. Time is short, Gospel Ministries. And Lord, just your mighty hand working there in Nigeria. We thank you for that. And so, God, I ask a blessing upon my brother today as he breaks forth your word, as he gives us updates, Lord. God, may we be challenged to grow deeper in the gospel, to have our love fanned into flame, as it were, God, for you, because you have loved us so much. And so anoint my brother today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much. We are delighted to be here this morning, and I want to appreciate all of you for being here today. Thank you very much for your prayers. Thank you for your support over the years. I'm here this morning with my wife and some of my precious, precious friends, Diane and Don. Diane has hosted us in this area for about 15 years. We came to know her through John Cash. We also came to know this church through John Cash. And John has been a great ministry partner. He has been to Nigeria and preached for us about 3 times. And we had the opportunity this last summer to have Diane and Christy, another friend of ours, come to Nigeria to visit and help us in the ministry. So I have some pictures that maybe when the time comes, we're going to... Okay, that's Diane and Christy in Strong Tower Christian Academy, one of the classes. These kids, God is just transforming their lives. We have 300 students in Strong Tower Christian Academy from kindergarten to 12th grade. And these are leaders of Nigeria tomorrow. Nigeria has a leadership problem, but we believe that by the time these children able to grow up with the values, our Christian values that we are instilling them, that they're going to provide good leadership for our nation. So you can pray for them, pray for Nigeria. Nigeria is right now in a very serious situation. I don't know how many of you that get the news of how Christians are being killed in Nigeria. We're praying for a presidential election that is coming up next February. We want God to do something, because the president we have right now, his 4 years in office is going to end next May, but we'll have election in February. He has been pushing Islamic agenda, and many people are being killed by Islamic terrorists and militants, and yet he doesn't even talk about it. So we really want the move of God in Nigeria, and we believe that he's going to give us a change in leadership. So these are our precious students in Strong Tower Christian Academy. And it was just a blessing that we had Diane and Christy visit and be able to go to the orphanage, do some outreaches. We went there, we were able to touch some widows. We did medical outreach, and where they went to the orphanage and just touched the lives of orphans and other students in the orphanage. At the orphanage, we have 226 students. So between the orphanage and the school, we have 526 students. And it's just a blessing. That's because we have people like you in this country who have been standing with us and encouraging us to go on and do what we are doing in Nigeria. We just started two churches this year that brought the number of the churches we've planted to 19. So we've been able to plant 19 churches in different places in Nigeria. And we also have seen God touch the lives of young people, poor women, through empowerment. And right now we are working with the youths in my village who have been committing all kinds of crime. And I was just told about that. So I had to drive to the village and meet them. I spoke with them. I kind of explained to them the only thing that can help them to live a good life was to embrace the gospel. And I told them that you've heard about my story and how God changed my life when I was 19. And that's the reason why God is doing what he is doing today. So at the end of the day, I was able to tell them that instead of you being in this village and just causing trouble, stealing people's chicken in the night, and doing all kinds of things, we're going to open up an empowerment scheme for you so you can get trained. Those of you that want to be mechanics will pay for you to do that. Those of you that want to be plumbers will pay for you to do that. Those of you that want to be work as welders, we want to help you. So we screen them. We set up a panel of three people that screen them, and 66 of them committed to going through this training. And we have set them in batches so we can help them. So God is opening tremendous doors of ministry, and we are so grateful that we live in a country like Nigeria. Today, I'm going to share with you a message that is very, very dear in my heart, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us as we open the scriptures this morning. If you have your Bibles, I will appreciate if you can open to the book of John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Verse number 4. This was after Jesus had healed a blind man. In verse 4, he said, "I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk." And I would like to read Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, we know the story of the 10 virgins. And it was told by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to read the story in that chapter, verse number 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself." Verse number 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Verse 13. "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Today I want to share with us a message that is about living with a sense of urgency. Living with a sense of urgency. Can you say that? Okay, so you can understand me, right? Okay, all right. Yeah, because sometimes I'm concerned because of my accent. And I tell my friend that, you know, you listen to me, I have an accent, and that is why some of my pronouncement or pronunciations are different. Number one, because I'm from Nigeria. Number two, because Nigeria was colonized by Britain, so we speak British English in Nigeria. For instance, if you come to Nigeria and you hear somebody say, "Open the bonnet," that's the trunk. Right? So, it's just different. And you can now see that my accent is combined with British English and then Nigerian native language. So, I'm concerned about whether you can understand me, but I know the Holy Spirit will help you, right? Okay, and sometimes when you speak, I also find it difficult to understand. So at least it's 1-1, right? We're going to go straight to what we want to share this morning. I'm talking about living with a sense of urgency. Now, if you have taken time to study the ministry of Jesus for the 3.5 years he was here in the world, something happened. If you study his ministry, you will agree with me as I submit to you this morning that Jesus did everything he did within that short space of time. He did everything that he did with a high sense of urgency. Everything he did, the miracles he performed, the people he reached with the gospel, they believe everything he did was with a high sense of urgency. And I believe that he did it because he wanted to send a message to you and I who would believe in him. I believe that he did it because he wanted us to understand how he would appreciate us to live. Because here in the world, we don't have all the time that we think we have. Life is so brief. that you don't even know when it is going to be cut off. Here in the world, we know what is called emergency. Emergencies happen in life. And why do emergencies happen in life? They happen to let us know that we need to live our lives with a sense of urgency. I mean, you cannot argue the fact that emergencies happen in life. And when they happen, why are they called emergencies? Because they don't tell you what time they're going to happen. That's why it is emergency. You cannot predict it. That's why if you enter into an aircraft to fly, you board the flight, you have your seat, they tell you to fasten your seat belt, and then you pick your, maybe you pick your iPad, you want to read, you want to do something, and you are reading, and it gets to a time, somebody stands up and say, hey, I have some information that I need to pass across to all the passengers in this airplane. And who is that person? It's a cabin attendant, somebody that professionally had been trained to give you information that is about safety procedure. Are you still with me? Okay, I don't want to lose you somewhere. So, begin to tell you about safety procedure, how things happen, and why you must be careful. And if you're reading your paper or you are checking your phone, texting somebody, you say, can you give me attention? Because I want to share something with you that you need while you fly with us. And it begins to tell you about what to do while on this flight. It's called safety procedure. And it gets to a point. The cabin attendant will tell you, if for any reason there is loss of cabin pressure in this flight, what happens? What? There'll be some mask that will drop from above your head. He said, pull the mask, cover your mouth, cover your nose in order to breathe before you can help someone else. And they'll say, there are emergency exits in this airplane. Why did they create emergency exits in the aircraft? Because emergencies happen in life. And if we live our life with the understanding that emergencies happen in life, we're going to also live our lives with the understanding that there is a huge or the greatest emergency that is coming. It is called the coming of the Son of God. It's going to be the greatest of all emergencies. And we need to prepare for that. The five virgins who were wise, they knew that emergencies happen. So they prepared. They got their oil. They were ready so that if emergency happens, I'm ready. If it happens when I don't know, I'm going to be ready. But the other five were stupid and foolish. They didn't know that emergency can happen without notification, without giving you any notice. And that's how some of us are living our lives. We live our lives as if we don't understand that we do not own this place. We live our lives as if we do not understand that we don't have enough time. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, Paul spoke to the Corinthian church. He said, brethren, it is time that those who are married, begin to live as if they are not married because the time is short. Do we know that the time is short? Do we live with that sense of urgency? That's what I came here to challenge you this morning. So begin to look at life from another perspective. Begin to look at life from a different perspective from today so that you can accommodate the sense of urgency in your living. Because if you don't do that, when the emergency that is coming happens, it may take you unawares. And you know that when emergencies happen in life, they mess up our calendar. They mess up our schedule. And it's not going to say to you, I'm sorry, I messed up your calendar. No. It will just come, scatter everything. Things that were very important to you will no more matter so much to you. That's the kind of sense of urgency we feel in Nigeria. That's the kind of sense of urgency we feel that Jesus wants us to live with. And that's what I came here today to encourage you to begin to live with a high sense of urgency in your life. When we live with a high sense of urgency in our lives, we will share the gospel. If we live with a high sense of urgency in our lives, we will touch lives of people. We'll be concerned about our loved ones that are not saved. We'll be concerned about our neighbors that do not know Jesus. We'll be concerned about our community that many people are living without Christ. When we have the sense of urgency that we don't know when these people will die. We don't know how much time they have. We don't know when the clock of their lives will stop. What if they live close to me and I never open my mouth to tell them about Jesus? What if in my job I never shared my faith, I never shared the gospel? In John chapter 4, the moment Jesus touched the life of the woman of Samaria, Jesus did not even tell her to go back to the city, go back to your community and tell them what I did. He never did that. But immediately her life was changed. Immediately her transformation took place. She ran back to the city. She didn't have anybody that followed her up. Nobody discipled her. But, you know, we come to church, we get discipleship, and yet we don't share the gospel. We sit under great preachers, and we receive teachings and preachers that should motivate us to just go out and share the love of Christ, but we keep back. But she immediately went back to her city, went back to Samaria, and began to tell everybody. The Bible says she began to tell them, come, see a man that told me all about my life. And she had this sense of urgency. And she was able to pull many people. Listen, can I tell you that if we live our lives for ourselves, we miss it. That's not how life's supposed to be lived. Jesus said, the Bible said that he died. Are you still with me? Are you feeling sleepy? You know, I'm from Nigeria. Okay. Should I tell you what I do if I'm preaching and a member is sleeping? I just say, hey, stand on your feet until I finish preaching. So, listen, when we live with a sense of urgency, we'll do what this lady did. We're going to go back, remember our friends, remember our loved ones, pray for them, share the gospel with them. Even if you don't want to just go and talk to them, you can text them. Right? Text them. I'm praying for you. I want the Lord to help you come to know him. That could be a powerful means. You can send them emails. All kinds of opportunities. Why are we not doing it? Because we don't understand the sense of urgency. We don't understand that we don't have time. We don't understand that they don't have time. We don't understand that we don't know when they will leave this world. Friends, if we can rise up, and I know many of you are living with that sense of urgency of sharing the word of God, sharing the gospel, and I appreciate what Pastor Danny did. When we were here last year, you were talking about your community, how you reach out and touch your neighborhood. That's why we are here. That's what God wants us to do. I have always appreciated the fact that I was born in Nigeria. And I have always appreciated the fact that I was born in this time. I've asked myself, why is it that I was not born in the 1800s? Why is it that God strategically blessed me in Nigeria, blessed me in Igbo tribe, captured my heart when I was 19, kindled a fire in me to begin to share the gospel, begin to take my megaphone, go into the villages in the early morning, early hours of the morning. People will be sleeping. I'll be preaching and waking them up to hear the gospel. Some of them were mad. Some of them were happy. Why? Because I know that God has a destiny for me. Friends, God has destinies for all of us. If you begin to understand that there are people whose lives are connected to your life, if you begin to understand that there are people that God wants to reach and bring them into the kingdom through your life, you're going to wake up. So I came here this morning to just encourage you to begin to live with a sense of urgency. And the moment you begin to do that, you will begin to see what God is going to do with your life. If you do not live with a sense of urgency, what is going to happen is that you're going to be living in procrastination. Did you get that? How do you pronounce procrastination? Procrastination, okay. When you procrastinate, what you're supposed to do today, you say, well, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it next week. That's procrastination. That's because you don't have the sense of urgency. I'm going to text my friend about Jesus, but I won't do it this week. I'll do it next week. And your next week will never come. You keep pushing it. Because you don't understand, you don't have that high sense of urgency. You need to take action and do it right away. Even after this service today, you can call somebody on the phone and tell him about Jesus. You can invite somebody to church next Sunday. Do what you ought to do. Leave the other one for God. Just do your part. If you don't live with a sense of urgency, you will think that you have plenty of time, but it's not true. But when you begin to live with a sense of urgency, you live with punctuality. You do it right away. You will live with passion. You will live with priority. And you will live with persistence. These are about 5 P's that will really, really be ongoing in your life. You live with punctuality, passion, priority, and persistence. You'll be able to know that I need to get this job done right away so that I don't do it through procrastination. When we live with a sense of urgency, we will be able to reach the lost. We will pray for the lost. We will love them. And we will forgive those who offended us because we know we don't have time. We don't have to carry guilt. We don't have to carry unforgiveness because we don't have time. We don't have to allow unforgiveness in our hearts because somebody offended you in your job. You're still carrying it. If you understand that you don't have time and that if you live with a sense of urgency, Jesus wants you to forgive when people offend you. Listen, there is nothing like life without offenses. I wish I could say it the way you understand it better. Life is filled with offenses. People must offend you, but you need to forgive them. If you understand that we don't have time, that the Lord can call us home anytime, we just have to be ready. We don't want to be like the 5 foolish virgins who didn't have enough oil. When there was a shout that a bridegroom was coming, that was when they woke up, they discovered they didn't have enough oil. And they went to their friends and said, "Can you help us?" And those girls were wise. You know why? They knew at that time that there are times when generosity will no more count. Yeah. If we say no, it doesn't mean we are not generous to you. Go and buy. Because they knew what they're supposed to do at that time. So this morning, I just believe that the Lord is going to help us to begin to change our priority in life, begin to address things with a high sense of urgency. If we live with a sense of urgency, we will serve our community, we will love people, and we will live the way that Jesus wants us to live. Friends, I want to say it again. We don't have much time here. We don't have much time here. Whatever time we have, let's use it and share Christ with people. We don't have time. Let's stop procrastinating the sharing of our faith. Let's stop procrastinating what we want to do for Jesus. We don't know when the clock will run out for these people. So let's reach them. Let's recapture that sense of urgency. Because hell is real, my friends. Hell is real. And I don't want my neighbors to be there. I don't want my loved ones to go there. I don't want people in my job to go there. I need to tell them about Jesus. How about you? Let's live our lives with a high sense of urgency, and we can touch our world for Jesus. We can change lives. That's what God has shared in our hearts. We just want to see him reach people. We want to see him transform lives. We want to see him change people. Because that's why he changed us. That's why he brought us into his family. So we can help him to bring others. One of our pastors traveled and he was returning to Abba where we live. And he joined a bus a public transportation, and we teach our members to share the gospel everywhere. If you enter into the bus, preach the gospel. Anywhere you find yourself, just share the love of Jesus. So as he entered into that bus, he didn't feel like preaching. So he was sitting. Whatever happened, he didn't feel like preaching. So he said, what happened was that somebody stood up in the bus, and this guy began to sing. He began to sing songs in the bus. And our pastor was so delighted. He said, wow. He started enjoying what the guy was doing. And in the middle of his singing, the guy says, I'm going to share the gospel with you. I'm going to read from the book of 2 Kings chapter 9. And the pastor said, what really made him to begin to cry was when he looked at this guy and discovered that he didn't have a Bible. He only had his bread because he was blind. And the pastor was in the bus. He could not preach the gospel. A blind man began to share about Jesus. And when he started preaching, he gave them his story. He said, I was born blind. I was born in a family where my father is the chief priest of our satanic altar, which is like a witch doctor. His father was the chief. And he was born, when he was born blind, his father was happy that he was going to take over from him. And the guy said, can you imagine what could have happened if I, as a blind man, had become a witch doctor? People would be coming from different places to collect power from me. That's what he said. He said, but you know what happened? Jesus intercepted that plan and changed my life. And he said, that's why I'm talking about him. Even though I am blind, I am happy that I know Jesus and I will preach Jesus. And he said to the audience, the people in the bus, he said to them, I know that as I keep preaching Jesus, I know that one day he's going to open my eyes. Friends, if a blind man can share the gospel, how about you and I? Let's decide to live our lives with a high sense of urgency. Amen. Pastor, can you come and help me if we want to pray for people?
Amen. Can we just thank God for his word? And brother, I'm so grateful. A timely message for what we needed to hear, what we have been endeavoring to do, and you have encouraged us, my brother. So let's have a word of prayer, and then it'll be a time for us to respond. So I just ask, with heads bowed, with eyes closed, and as we think about the reality and the need for a sense of urgency, we're just going to open up this time for people to pray. And myself, some of our deacons, and Pastor Friday, and Precious, I'd even like you guys to join us up here as people would want to come and pray. Because what happens is we all get comfortable, don't we? And when comfort sets in, we lose our sense of urgency. And so we're going to ask, by God's grace, and how do we get that sense of urgency back, right? That's probably what we're wondering. And we just continue to go to the gospel, right? We continue to look at the cross and what Jesus did. And if you're there sitting in your seat and you're just like, I don't have that sense of urgency, you need to cry out to the Lord. I needed to ask him and say, God, break my heart. You need to continue to look at the cross and look what Jesus did for you and say, God, give me boldness. God, give me courage. You took the cross for me, God. Help me to get uncomfortable for you. God, help me to speak up. And I just want you to know that as a church family, we're all in this together. Amen. And we're all striving towards that. And so this is not a beat anybody down. This is, man, we need each other and we need Jesus. And so, Father, we come to you. And as we're going to sing here and we're going to declare with our words, we need you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. God, but with Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can speak up. I can live with urgency because Christ is in me. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask, God, that you would just have your way in us as we respond to you, as we respond to your word and to your truths, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that our